Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Mind Your Subconscious. Today I am speaking to Vaishali Patel, who is a traveler, an author, a TEDx speaker, and a transformation expert. And she also authored a book about solo travel for women that I'm also featured in. So we talked all about solo travel. We talked about the different stories of the women in the book who all went on their solo adventures, each of them for different reasons, and each of them had something beautiful happen to them. So that's what we're talking about. We also talk about why you should solo travel, how you can make friends and how you can stay safe, and so many more things. Let's get into the conversation now.
Hello, everyone. Today I'm here with Vaishali Patel. So welcome, Vaishali. Just give us a quick introduction with anything that I may have missed and introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is Vaishali, as you said, and I have traveled solo extensively for over 10 to 15 years. Before, I'm also a ex-marketer. So I've worked in marketing, and I am a coach and trainer. And one of the things when I went solo traveling in 2010 was I saw how much it changed me, how much it really challenged my beliefs about myself. And there were things that were coming up for me to review, to reflect on, and to face, really. And that was quite a growth period for me, and it was a lot of fun as well. But when I came back, I realized that a lot of women would say to me, oh, I haven't traveled, I want to travel solo, but you're so lucky, or I'm living through you. And I just thought, no, I'm not lucky, and you don't have to live through me. You could actually do this. And I wanted to create something that women could look at and gain empowerment from and inspiration from, to go on their own solo travel. So they don't, because they're not saying that. So I created the book, Solo Explorers, that you're in, Jen, and our common friend Liv is also in there, which combines actually the sort of psychology and inner journey, the reflection and all of that that these amazing ladies had through their travels and the impact it had on their life choices. I focused on four key areas because I think they're quite powerful in terms of employability, entrepreneurship, relationships, and self-discovery. So I looked at those four things with the ladies and how solo travel impacted their life choices in those areas. And it was such a wonderful experience. I really enjoyed speaking to everyone and learning all the different stories. And is there anything I could go? You don't know what, Jen. I could go on and on about the different stories and the book because I'm absolutely passionate about it. So I just thought I'd stop there and see what you might want to ask.
So I actually, when I started reading the book, I was like, wow, I have traveled solo so much, but it still inspires me. It still feels like, wow, there's so much to explore. It still feels like there's so many stories that are meant to be written still in my own life from solo travel, even though, like, now I also have a boyfriend, but I feel I want to travel solo. And I'm actually also gonna start traveling solo again, starting in like 10 days today. Exactly 10
nice.
days. So I really look forward to it. And for me, the book has, like, again, it has inspired me still, and it has given me so much perspective from, because you really interviewed people that were, like, you know, in, I think, in their 20s up to, I don't know how old they were, like there were women in there who had been married, divorced, and like they've had a whole life behind them, 50s, 60s, and they still travel solo. So yeah. What would you say is one or more common denominators of these women and why they decide to do that, and why, and how is it changing them?
Sure. So first of all, I chose women who, well, I call them everyday women, because they're not, you're not all travel journalists or presenters that do this on a daily basis. When I pick up a travel book that's a collection of stories, usually they're by journalists who've written for National Geo or something like that, and it's usually about a destination. And I think, well, why is that such a challenge for you? Because you do this as your career. And so I picked women that every your you know the women can relate to. You're right. The youngest was 19 when she traveled, and the eldest is probably over 60. So and what I love is you've got someone that's just come out of university, doesn't know what she wants to do, and she goes to China to teach English and develops herself as a person by being in situations where she's had to deal with a narky roommate, deal with the school wanting to let her go, and because she's not performing, and then meeting, actually she met the love of her life there as well, and they're married now, and it's been 11, 12 years with two kids, and it's just wonderful to see someone from birth, someone from like such a young age starting their life to a couple of women who are retired, and looking at, okay, what's next for me, and they go traveling, and they start a new one of them started a new career as a travel writer, and the other one, she actually went to Vietnam and discovered compassion. So in her culture, I think she comes from South Korea, they don't have this term compassion, and so she went there, she did a compassion meditation course and decided that she would take it back to her home country and create this. And she was retired, she was depressed, she didn't know what to do, she went on this course and she brought it back, and now she has this consultancy in back in her home that just teaches compassion. So that was really wonderful. And then there's ladies there who have traveled, who've used solo travel as a vehicle for from work. So there's a lady that used to be an air steward, and she would take long trips at a time so that she could learn to be independent, and that would then help her leave her partner who was where there was abuse. And so you've got a lady that was looking to go solo travel to end her life, and then she would travel, max out her credit card, and end her life. And she luckily her mum supported her when she found out, and she then decided to travel to celebrate her life. And it opened up a new career for her when she got back home. So there's wonderful, beautiful stories of people finding strength in making a different decision for their lives, to creating new careers, following their passion and changing their lifestyles around their passion. I believe you're one of them. I've had someone, there's someone in the book who a relationship ended, and she went to Mexico and Argentina and has now developed a passion for tango and goes back 3 months in the year to Argentina to learn tango. Lots of the common thing I think through all of these stories is they all used solo travel as a vehicle, or they were actually working in solo travel, but they all had, I'd say an area where they were unsure. Maybe that was whether to go or not, or maybe it was they're driving and they have absolutely no idea what the road signs say, and things like that. I had that in my story. I was like, I don't know, what am I going to do today? Okay, let me just trust my intuition and go with that. I had created a space and the time to travel like that, which was brilliant. So I'd say there's an element of them all being willing to be with the unknown, willing to be courageous. I'd say nearly all of the women in the story had a conversation with somebody that impacted them, that impacted their life choice. There's a lady, I think we both know her. She went to India and she did some volunteer work at an ashram, and then from there she decided to she met this taxi driver, this Indian guy. They developed a great friendship, and he suggested she should go to London, and she came to London, and she created a whole wellness and healing practice in London. Found the man of her dreams, got married, and you know it yeah. So there's people that have met people that have made a profound impact on them, strangers that they don't know, that have seen something in them that sometimes when we're in one location, the people around us don't see.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so I'd say what the common things are: being willing to be with the unknown, being courageous, being open, I think I think it really just starts with being courageous and being willing to be with the unknown.
Yeah, and on the topic of being courageous, like everyone tells you, oh my God, this is going to be so dangerous. Or, oh my God, why are you going to Mexico? Or why are you going to South Africa? Like, to me, people say, why are you going to South Africa? And when I see some people say, I'm like, nowadays, I used to live in the US, but nowadays I'm like, why are you going to the US? It's more dangerous to go to the US than I ever feel like when I'm in South Africa, whatever. Like it comes from every side of the world. Like people have this misconception that the unknown is dangerous, that somewhere else is dangerous, that somewhere else something is going to happen. Even you could get run over by a car in your home country, right? So what would you say to people who are afraid to take the leap, who are afraid to travel solo and to go on their first adventure?
Okay, so I would say if you are it's about your relationship to risk, and don't compare yourself to other people. First, I'd say it's about your relationship to risk, and secondly, don't compare yourself to others. So some people can start with, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to join a tour group, and I'll go travel. But even that for some people could be quite scary. So I'd say if you're right at the start, then go to a different part of your home city. Just jump on the on the train and go to a different part and get used to being in a different part of your own home city. Jump on the train and maybe take a different route. First of all, change your relationship to the unknown, to something different, and start by just taking a different route, trying a different coffee bar or something. Just change your routine slightly to start dealing with the uncertainty and uncomfortableness of change. Then take it to maybe going to visit a different part of your city, and get to know your city that way. Take a bus trip or a tube trip, and then maybe, obviously, all within it being safe as well, and doing this within the hours of safety. And wearing appropriate clothing and none of the, stuff, don't know, nothing flashy, I'd say as well. Then take yourself to another part of your country. So, I've told people, I've coached people to go and jump on a train and go to a different part of England. Just go to a different city and get comfortable with a 1 hour coach journey. You're in another town, and just start by, getting to talking to people that you don't know. Just round if you're if one of the other fears people have is, oh, I'm going to have to drink or eat on my own. And honestly, try it. There is nothing more satisfying sometimes to be able to eat and drink on your own and reflect with your own thoughts. Listen to a good podcast. It's also about developing that relationship with yourself, being able to be comfortable with yourself. And quite often, sometimes when I'm on my own, I've had people come and ask me if they can join me, and want to talk to me. And that's been really nice. It's been very expansive. So yeah, I would say, start with that and then go with a different country. And that might be, oh, I'll just, if you're in England, I might just jump over to France, and that's still doable. But it might also be I'll join a tour. And you can, there's so many companies that are doing solo group tours for solo travelers, and they do it by age. So you could, if you're over 50, you can meet people that are your age. There's lots that do it between 30 and 40 and 20 and 30, and they have so many different activities that they base it on, and all around the world. Join a tour group like that, and that will help you to feel that you do have people around you. You've got somebody that can, manage the logistics that need to be managed, and if you do have a concern, you have somebody to speak to. And then from there, try one on your own, and that might be a country that you're familiar with in terms of language and how to get around. So, for example, if you're from England, you might want to go to Canada or Australia, where I went to New Zealand, and I was able to drive, which was great. I was able to drive on the side of the road that they drive in England. I wouldn't do that in another country because it really confuses me. So I was able to do that, everyone spoke English. And it was it was very New Zealand's the infrastructure's there, so it was easy to get around, and it's a great place to travel solo, I think. And there are lists of countries online where people say these are the top 10 most safe solo travel countries at the moment. Take a look at those and see which ones work for you. And the biggest thing I'd say, and then you get to the point which I did in Brazil, which I still think, wow, that was so crazy, is where I just turned up in a destination and thought, I booked my first night with couch surfing. So you can even book into hostels and hotels, and then when you build up your confidence and you want to do it, you can actually stay with local people and get to know them and get to know the culture. And I did that through couch surfing. I just would then go, okay, where do I want to go today? And then just trust my intuition and go there. And that was the most liberating form of travel. But I wouldn't have done that when I first started out. It was a gradual journey to get there. So just start at the level that's a tiny stretch for you, and keep building it. And I think it might become addictive for you, maybe, because it is. The thrill of meeting someone new and lots of new people and being embraced and seeing beautiful parts of the world and learning to do things by yourself, I think is such a big pull of solo travel for me. Knowing I was able to buy a train ticket in China and travel around China by myself was it's so empowering. And then you take that to other areas of your life and you think, wow, what can I do at work? What can I do in business? What can I do with personal projects? What can I do with my health? How can I push myself? So, yeah, there was one thing I wanted to say, which is completely gone. So I have to remember.
That's fine.
But yeah.
And I also think it's important to talk about to really tell women who are in partnerships, who are in a marriage, who have kids, like that does not stop anyone from solo traveling at all. Like the more time you actually take for yourself to go travel and to explore and experience, the more you are able to find yourself a bit again, because sometimes you may lose yourself in the marriage or as in the identity of just being a mother, just being a wife, or just being a partner to somebody. When you actually go out, when you have a partner, then it's also like really amazing to see, like, wow, I can do shit on my own still. Like, I don't need anyone for now. And I'm really enjoying this and I love it. And because I also feel like a lot of women are scared, or they don't trust like just going somewhere by themselves when they have a partner or kids or marriage or whatever. And then also my next question was going to be, What would you say to people who want to make friends? We have touched on a couple of points, like going on group tours, obviously, choosing to couch surf or stay with a local on Airbnb. What else would you say is a
Sure.
really great way to meet friends?
I just want to touch on what you said about being in a relationship. Remember, there's ladies who are in the book. There's one lady who just got married and she went away to work. And that's not common in the Indian culture, but she did because she wanted to pursue her career, and her husband had that agreement. And they would meet every 2 weeks in the middle between their locations. And it was like a year-long honeymoon, she said, and it was great for their relationship. Then there's another lady, she was married and she had a 2-year-old, and there was an opportunity to go from Canada to Africa on as part of her university, like she was a lecturer. And she had this guilt, sense of guilt leaving her 2-year-old. And her friends said, "You have to go." And so she did. And she had an amazing time. She got to know a lot of the local African women, and then went back and created a charity there to help women, to help generate water, and now a windmill project to generate wind. So, if you are, it's when you have a sense of purpose or a sense of passion for something, follow it and have a conversation with your partner. If they are, the right partner for you, or a very supportive partner, they will support you to go and do it. So yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that point. It shouldn't stop you. And to be honest, a lot of ladies that do solo travel later in life, a lot of them say it's because they were married, they didn't go, and now that they're divorced or they're widowed, they want to go and they are scared. So, do go, just go. It'll be great. In terms of how do you make friends, in addition to going on group tours, doing things like couch surfing, when you go to a local area, if you're in a hostel, you can make friends with the people in the dorm that you're in and in the hostel you're in. They have and activity evenings and days and things like that. So you can do that. Also, there are lots of Facebook solo travel groups now, and lots of apps that are available for people to find out if anyone's in a local area, and you can meet other travelers that way. Okay. Maybe sometimes the idea though is to meet. Maybe you want to meet local people. So then, maybe what I did when I lived in Australia was I joined a local dance class, and I got to know, and Perth at the time was very cliquey, and it was very hard to make friends. So where I worked for 6 months, I made friends with a project manager there, and then I followed a passion in dance and I met some friends there. And then I did some voluntary work with Samaritans and I made some friends there. And then I just got them all together and created like a little group of friends for myself. And so yeah, follow maybe do some voluntary work in a location. You'll meet local people there that way as well. Facebook groups, apps, if you want to meet other travelers. And then sometimes it's just a matter of walking up to somebody and just saying hello. The other day, I always talk about bringing this traveler mindset to me, to myself in London. The other day I was on a break, and at lunch break, and I was walking, and this man started to just walk next to me. I sort of looked at him, and my initial response was going to be, "Oh, just go away, like what do you want?" kind of thing, and I just ignore him. And then I thought, no. And then I turned to him and I said, "Hello." He said, "Hello." And we just talked for a few minutes. He goes, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm just going to get my lunch." And he goes, "Okay, I'll walk." I said, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm a bus driver, but I'm on holiday today." What bus do you drive? The 95. It goes from Southall to somewhere. Anyway, and then I said, "Okay." And then he said, "We have a lot more in common than you know." I said, "Okay, great." And then he said, "Okay, have a good day, have a blessed day." And I said, "All right." And it was so uplifting just to talk to a stranger for a few minutes with no strings attached. And that sometimes it's just about that. It's just about going up to somebody that you're curious about. And I would pay them a compliment. I say, "Oh, I love your dress." And you know what? Language is not a barrier. There are ways that you can use sign language to tell somebody they look good, or just to have a brief conversation, maybe even learning a few words in the local language and using that at a restaurant or when you're out forms a connection with people, and they love it. So yeah, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I want to agree with that because I learn hello and thank you in every single place that I go to. Of course, sometimes like more, but these two words have gotten me so far, and they open so many doors. These little two words, and they're always like, "Oh, do you speak Swahili? Oh, do you speak Croatian? Oh, do you speak whatever, whatever?" I'm like, "No, but I just learn." And then a conversation starts from there, and people want to know like why you're learning the language, why you're here. And then everything, just goes on from there, and it's beautiful. And also, I want to add that Facebook events is a great place to find events with local people, and to find events that suit you, as well as Meetup, the app Meetup, and then university events or events at, companies or whatever. Like if you have a company that you really like or that you follow or whatever it is, or university, because university always have so many events, and it's a great place to meet people as well. So yeah, there's loads of options, and you will never be alone. Like literally, my solo travels are the times when I'm less alone than when I go with somebody else. I feel like
Yeah.
there's literally so many people that I meet. So yeah, Vaishali, then tell us something that you haven't spoken about yet when it comes to either solo travel or your book. And yeah, let us know.
What I haven't said yet about the book.
Something that you want to say, that you want to share about solo traveling or about the book.
Okay. So what I'd like to say about the book, and what I'd like to say about solo travel first is, if you have a desire to do it, do it. And if you're scared, don't worry. I believe a lot of people were when they first started, but your confidence will grow. Like if you ever rode a bike, it's a bit like that. And about the book, it's called Solo Explorers. It's a collection of stories of 30 women that have traveled solo. It's there to empower and inspire women to travel solo and go on an inner journey to discover who they like really are, in a sense, and then what kind of life they want to create. Or the stories in the book actually are about women that have traveled solo and what their inner journey was and what the outer impact was on their life choices. But I feel as you read it, you also go on your own journey and you start to reflect and think about yourself. And it's meant to be a little bit like Harry Potter versus Chicken Soup for the Soul. So you can open the book at a page that works for you, or you can just find a story that works for you. And like I said, there's stories that are under people that women that have traveled solo for work, women that have traveled solo to pursue a creative passion, women that have traveled solo to discover themselves, and then those where a relationship or a conversation with somebody made a profound impact. And it's available on Amazon under Solo Explorers. It's also available on my website, www.solo-explorers.com. And if you want to find out more about what other people are saying and also more about the ladies in the book, then you can visit my Instagram page at solo.explorers, and we'll be putting out content as we go along about the different ladies and the impact it's had on their life.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on here, for sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and thank you for putting together the book. Because I can only like repeat myself, not only because I'm in the book, but also because, again, it inspired me after so many years of solo traveling to do it more and more and more because I love it so much. And like Vaishali said, just go. Like if you have this little nudge that tells you to go, Just do it and go book that flight, book that train, whatever it is that you need to book. You will not regret it. Your soul calls you, answer it. Just answer it.
Love this episode of Mind Your Subconscious? Subscribe, rate, and leave a review on whichever platform you're listening. It's very much appreciated. Thank you so much.